12 Images from Easter Week by David A. Edwards, Church Magazines. There are many important truths contained in the record of the last week of Jesus Christ's mortal life. Truths about the Savior, His kingdom, and how we can follow Him. Here are some of those truths, illustrated by images of physical objects that were part of the last week of the Savior's life. 1. Money changers' tables. See Matthew 21, verses 12 to 16, Mark 11, verses 15 to 19, and Luke 19, verses 45 to 48. What are they? The tables where people would, for an outrageous fee, exchange other currencies for the Jewish half-shekel coin, which was accepted in the temple sanctuary. The priests and other temple officers allowed people to sell items that the law of Moses demanded for various temple sacrifices. Through greed and extortion, these leaders took advantage of those coming to worship God. Early in his last week, Jesus Christ drove the money changers out of the temple. The sounds of clinking coins and barking salesmen echoing off of the temple walls must have been distracting and offensive to the spirit of worship and devotion that the Lord's house deserves. The Savior said, "It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." Matthew 21, verse 13. They had allowed the things of the world to intrude upon the sacred space of His Father's house. But He showed that the place where we are meant to seek His Father's kingdom should be free from the distractions of the world.
2. Sword. See Matthew 26, 51-55, Mark 14, 47, Luke 22, 49-51, and John 18, 10-11. While the Savior was at the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas Iscariot came with a group of armed men to arrest Him. Peter impulsively drew a short sword and cut off the ear of one of the men. The Savior immediately told Peter to put his sword away and said, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" As a further manifestation of His power and mercy, He also healed the man's ear.
3. Crown of thorns. See Matthew 27, verse 29, Mark 15, verse 17, and John 19, verse 2. The Roman soldiers placed a crown of thorns on the Savior. Perhaps this cruel act was a perverse attempt to mimic the placing of an emperor's laurel upon his head. Thus, there was pressed down upon him a crown of thorns. He accepted the pain as part of the great gift He had promised to make. How poignant this was, considering that thorns signified God's displeasure as He cursed the ground for Adam's sake, that henceforth it would bring forth thorns. But by wearing the crown, Jesus transformed thorns into a symbol of His glory. From President James E. Faust, Second Counselor in the First Presidency, April 1991 General Conference.
4. Purple robe. See Matthew 27, 28, Mark 15, 17, and John 19, 2. Purple was a kingly color, and the soldiers mockingly put this robe on Jesus Christ because He had claimed to be the King of the Jews. Of course, in reality, He is much more than that. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords.
5. Widow's mite. See Mark 12, verses 41-44, and Luke 21, verses 1-4. What is it? A very small coin, a lepton, probably made of copper or brass, worth less than all others. While at the temple that week, the Savior saw a poor widow throw two of these tiny coins into the temple treasury. He gathered His disciples and said that this woman's offering, though of the smallest amount, was greater than anyone else's, for she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. From Mark 12, verse 44. What mattered to Him was her willingness to give, not the size of her offering. He showed yet again that the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, the Lord looketh on the heart. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. And that my ways are higher than your ways. Isaiah 55, verse 9.
6. Box of ointment. See Matthew 26, 6-13, Mark 14, 3-9, and John 12, 2-8. What is it? some kind of vessel made of alabaster, a soft gypsum compound often used for intricate ornamental carvings. It was used to store spikenard, a perfumed ointment made from Asian plants and quite valuable because of its rarity. Early in the Savior's last week, Mary poured this box of ointment on him. He said that it foreshadowed his death, because perfumed ointments were also used to prepare bodies for burial. See John 19:39.
7. Temple veil. See Matthew 27, verse 51, Mark 15, verse 38, and Luke 23, verse 45. What is it? The temple veil was a curtain found in the Holy of Holies, the temple's innermost and most sacred room, which represented the presence of God. Only the high priest could go through the veil, and only once a year. When Jesus Christ died, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, Matthew 27, verse 51. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hebrews 9, verses 11 through 12. See also verses 13 and 14. Through his death and resurrection, he rent the veil separating us from God's presence. See Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 22.
8. Olive press. See Matthew 26:36, Mark 14:32, Luke 22:39 and 40, and John 18:1. Jesus Christ's agony in Gethsemane and on the cross was greater than any mortal could bear. Nevertheless, because of his love for his Father and for us, he endured. And as a consequence, he can offer us both immortality and eternal life. It is poignantly symbolic that blood came from every pore as Jesus suffered in Gethsemane, the place of the olive press. To produce olive oil in the Savior's time, olives were first crushed by rolling a large stone over them. The resulting mash was placed in soft, loosely woven baskets, which were piled one upon another. Their weight expressed the first and finest oil. Then added stress was applied by placing a large beam or log on top of the stacked baskets, producing more oil. Finally, to draw out the very last drops, the beam was weighted with stones on one end to create the maximum crushing pressure. And yes, the oil is blood red as it first flows out. Elder D. Todd Christofferson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, October 2016 General Conference.
9. Scourge. See Matthew 27, verse 26. What is it? A Roman flagrum or flagellum, a whip with multiple leather strands that had several small pieces of metal or bone attached to them, and sometimes with a hook at the end. The scourge was designed to quickly remove skin and flesh. As was customary, after he was condemned, Jesus Christ was taken by the Roman soldiers to be scourged. They scourge him, and he suffereth it, and they smite him, and he suffereth it. Yea, they spit upon him, and he suffereth it, because of his loving kindness and his long suffering towards the children of men. 1 Nephi 19, verse 9.
10. Nails. See John 20, 25. The crucifiers drove nails through the Savior's hands, wrists, and feet to secure him on the cross. Jesus Christ has, he reminds us, graven thee upon the palms of my hands. 1 Nephi 21:16. Consider the incomprehensible cost of the crucifixion. Christ is not going to turn his back on us now. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, Come Unto Me, ends in April 1998, page 19.
11. Cross. See Matthew 27, verse 32, and John 19, verse 17. What is it? The beam placed horizontally near the top of a tall upright post used by the Romans for public execution by crucifixion. These were probably made of a durable wood so that they could be reused. The beam, or cross, was separate from the post, and victims were made to carry it themselves to the place of crucifixion. They were then attached to the cross and lifted up onto the post. A man named Simon was asked to help Jesus Christ carry his cross. See Matthew 27, verse 32. The Savior said, "My Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross, and after that I had been lifted up upon the cross, that I might draw all men unto me, that as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father, to stand before me, to be judged of their works." 3 Nephi 27, verse 14. He also taught that each of his disciples should take up his cross, Matthew 16, verse 24, which means to deny himself all ungodliness and every worldly lust and keep my commandments. Joseph Smith translation, Matthew 16, verse 26, in the Bible Appendix.
12. Empty tomb. See Matthew 28, 1 through 8, and John 20, 1 through 18. The empty tomb that first Easter morning was the answer to Job's question. If a man die, shall he live again? Job 14, 14. To all within the sound of my voice, I declare, if a man die, he shall live again. We know, for we have the light of revealed truth. President Thomas S. Monson, He Is Risen, April 2010 General Conference. If you had to summarize all of Easter in a single word, you might choose the word love. We see the love of God the Father and His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, in the central act of the Father's plan, the Savior's atoning sacrifice. The images of Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross of Calvary are images of deep and eternal love. Sidebar. Study the Easter story. For a complete list of events during the last week of the Savior's life, with scripture references to each event, see Harmony of the Gospels, lds.org/scriptures/harmony. End of the article, 12 Images from Easter Week, by David A. Edwards. Read by Scott Christopher and Wes Nelson.